Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and welcome to the weekend edition of Live the Promise. Really glad to be listening today. Well, here's a good question for you. What does it take to feel good and to do good in your work? Well, my guest today is Dean Niewolny. He joins me to talk about his book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And we'll get to that conversation in just a moment. I have a few quick announcements for you. If you've not taken advantage of our Faith Radio app, I hope that you will, because it is free. And that way, if you're ever getting some staticky coverage or you're traveling outside our your signal, you can turn on that app and catch it clear. You can actually catch podcasts after the fact. It's easy. It's simple. It's free. Check it out. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Also, if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we would so love to get a welcome packet into your hands. It's just filled with encouraging content. Just gives you information on our heart behind our programming, why we do what we do, and it maybe will answer some questions for you on what we've made available to you to help you in your faith journey. You can check it out and sign up for a welcome packet on our website, myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, if you are a prayer person, if you just believe in the power of prayer and you consider yourself a prayer warrior, would love for you to join the Faith Radio prayer team. While you're on the website, you can sign up right there at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest now. We'll get this conversation started. Dean Niewolny is Chief Executive Officer of the Halftime Institute. He speaks at events around the world, encouraging business leaders to channel their first half achievement into a second half defined by joy, impact, and balance. Having grown up playing sports, eventually in college and semi-professional baseball, Dean still enjoys coaching his son and attending his games. He and his wife, Lisa, and their two children live in South Lake, Texas. Dear Dean, welcome to the program. So good to meet you.
Susie, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Looking forward to the conversation, Dean. And we love to start every single day our conversations talking scripture. And just love that you chose Proverbs 3:5-6, a fantastic passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Talk about that passage and why you chose it.
Yeah, really, when I thought about what I was doing with the first half of my life and this focus on making money and trying to accumulate things and getting to this point in my life in 2006 where I found that all of that was somewhat empty for me. I really call that season my smoldering discontent season. I came upon Proverbs 3:5-6, just trust the Lord. And at that point, there was two verses really that stood out to me. It was Proverbs 3:5-6, and then it was Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared beforehand. So I thought, well, God has prepared good works for me beforehand for me to walk in, and Proverbs 3:5-6 tells me to trust him. And I really, when I put those two together, that's what I tried to do. So during that season, if you will, of smoldering discontent, it was those two verses that I really leaned on.
I can't wait for people to hear your story. And you opened the book with about a time in your life when you stood in your high-rise office building. You looked out at Lake Michigan. Here you're highly successful. You made a lot of money. But you were one of the people that asked, okay, is this all there is? I'd love for you, Dean, to take us to that point in your story and even how you got there.
Sure. I grew up in a little town in northern Wisconsin, and we always looked at folks who were wealthy and would say, boy, look at what they have, and I want to be like them, and boy, I wish I had what they have. And so when I was a young kid, my goal for life was, how could I become like those folks and become wealthy and have a lot of money and possessions? So I focused on that. And I spent the first half of my life really trying to do that through the financial services industry. And I started out with some large companies as a financial advisor, then worked my way up to management, and really felt like I was achieving that level of success like those other folks had when I was a child. And what I realized as I continued to become more successful and make more money and accumulate things, that in, for me, there wasn't this sense of joy or happiness. There was actually this sense of angst and emptiness. And I remember hearing a guy named Bob Buford, who wrote the book Halftime, get interviewed in 1999, and this whole idea of going from success to significance. And I had accepted Christ in 1995, and then I heard Bob in 1999, and I thought, well, this whole idea of going from success to significance sounds really good, but I'm still about making money and accumulating things, because I really thought, Susie, that's where my joy and happiness was going to come. And finally, I got to 2006, and I was sitting on the 40th floor of my office building overlooking downtown Chicago. I have a beautiful wife, two great kids, successful business, and a lot of stuff. And I finally stood up, and I lifted my hands up. I said, God, there has to be more to life than this. There just has to be more to life than this. And that was my smoldering discontent season. And I felt the Lord say to me at that time, Dean, it's time for you to simplify your life. I have other plans for you. And as you can imagine, that was an interesting conversation with my wife and kids that evening. But I really felt like that was the beginning of this time where I was going to really figure out what is God's plan for my life, not what is my plan for my life.
Had God been also preparing your wife, Lisa, for that conversation, or did that come as a total surprise to her?
No, it was a little bit surprising that it happened that night, but I think it would have been a surprise no matter when I shared it with her. But we discussed it a number of times from 1999 after hearing Bob get interviewed till 2006. So it wasn't a complete surprise, but it did take from 2006 to 2010 before we actually made a transition we went from the marketplace to the ministry. So it did take some time in prayer, for sure.
And yet things changed under the surface in that time in between. So it wasn't like you were dragging your heels for 4 years, so to speak, right? I mean, I think you went on a mission trip during that time, right?
I did. Yes, and what I did during those 4 years is right after I had my 40th floor office experience, a good friend of mine that I worked with said, Dean, would you be interested in being part of a Bible study? And I said, I'd love to. What are we studying? He said, we're going to study this book called Halftime. I said, oh, yeah, I heard that guy get interviewed. I think that sounds great. So we started what we called at the time a halftime huddle, where every other week we went through a chapter of the book and then as a group talked about the questions in the back of each chapter. And I just came to this point where I said, if it's halftime or if it's something else, I need to figure out what God's sweet spot is for my life. What does He want me to do with the rest of my life? So that was really the beginning of the journey. And yes, we did go on some mission trips and did a number of different things just to try different things to see what worked and what didn't work, or what felt right and what didn't feel right for me.
So would you say that would be the first point of business, so to speak? If someone is feeling that smoldering discontent and restlessness going, okay, I have this one life and I've gotten this far, no matter what it is, maybe whether they're as successful as you were or not, but they feel like, I don't want to stay on this path, would the first thing be to try a few different things, would you say?
Well, I would suggest the first thing to do really is, and it sounds self-serving, but to read Halftime and read Trade Up, because in those two books, Bob Buford wrote the book Halftime. That's the organization that I'm the CEO of, and he presents this concept, this idea of going from success to significance. So the reader of that book will get a clear understanding about what's the concept of making a transition like this? What does that feel like? Trade Up is more some of the secret sauce and some of the exercises that we have that we use and that we've learned over the last 20 years. So it's a starting point. And those, if they read those two books and they find that God's still stirring in their heart, that they feel they need to make some sort of transition or want to, then the next step would be to go into the program. But that, I think reading the two books is a great start.
Well, just, and friends, we've got three copies of this hardcover book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address. You've got a question included there. Before we take our first break, I want you to say a word about that point, though, Dean, when you decided to sell your home and build an orphanage in Africa.
Yeah, well, we went to Africa, we came back, and we did an event at our home for a number of our neighbors who were asking about our trip. And that evening, sitting in our living room, I looked at my wife, Lisa, and said, something is just wrong with this picture. We have people walking into our home, looking at pictures of starving children and kids with AIDS and so on and so forth. And they're walking into this gorgeous home, this huge foyer, looking at these glossy pictures. I said, this isn't right. What we need to do is take resources that we have and really make a difference. Now, we felt when we did that event that evening that we were bringing, you know, a spotlight to the issues going on over in Africa. But Lisa and I both felt we needed to do more. So at that point, we said, let's pray about it, and we prayed about it, and we decided at that point that it might be wise for us to downsize and do something over in Africa. But unbeknownst to us, there was someone already interested in our home, and within 2 weeks, and we didn't list the home, we didn't talk to a realtor, I got a call from the realtor saying, Dean, I don't know how to tell you this, but some guy is interested in purchasing your home. And you and I both know how the Lord works and the listeners. And I said, well, I'm not completely surprised, but I am a little shocked. And long story short, that gentleman came and purchased the home. We closed in 30 days, and we used part of the proceeds to start the orphanage.
Fantastic. Talking to Dean Niewolny, like I said, we've got three copies of this hardcover, amazing book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And when we come back, we'll work through the three questions, Dean, that you offer us to work through. Is there not a cause in you? Is there a sweet spot? What is your giant, and how can you know? He'll unpack those for us as well. If you've got questions for Dean, you sure can email them, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Think about it. Life on earth is short and eternity is long, and how we live here does echo into how we live there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to CEO of Halftime Institute, Dean Niewolny. He was a high-paid executive in the marketplace, standing in a high-rise office looking out at Lake Michigan with, if I remember at this point, Dean, you had multiple homes and you're a very wealthy man, and just asking, is this all there is? And you started to ask some questions, and God started to speak to your heart, and you started to feel winds of change blowing in the air. I want to talk through some of the questions you were help people work through if they're wondering if it's time to trade up and make a change to move from just making money to making a difference. The first one is there not a cause? Unpack that one if you would.
Sure, sure. Is there not a cause really comes from the story of David and Goliath. David saw a cause. He saw a need. And for all of us, there is a cause or need that we're really passionate about. If you remember, David was very passionate when he faced Goliath, and there is something that all of us feel passionate about. It's interesting that when folks go through the Halftime Institute program, many will come and say, I don't have any passion. I'm not passionate about anything, but really we all are. So we encourage folks to read the USA Today for a week and just try to identify what makes you mad, what makes you sad, what makes you glad. And there's something that will make that you're really passionate about, and it will, you will uncover that. And a story that I'll share with you real quick is a gentleman who went through the program, did that exercise, and at the end of the week he said, "Dean, this just doesn't work." And I said, "Well, why do you say that?" He said, "Because all I did was read the sports section the whole time." And I said, "Exactly, that's what you're passionate about. You're passionate about sports." So he started an inner city ministry for children. So we're all passionate about something. We just need to take time to figure that out.
Fantastic. Okay, how about this one? In you, is there a sweet spot? What do you say?
Well, in you, is there a sweet spot goes back to Ephesians 2:10 calling, that there is a sweet spot in all of us. And I believe and I think it's up to us to try to figure that out with the Holy Spirit's help. When we're trying to identify the sweet spot, and we go back to Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared beforehand," we need to really understand that it's a head and a heart journey. So the head journey is more the type A, here's what I want to do, here's what I think I'm good at, here's the next season of my life. But the heart journey is that time in solitude, in quiet, when we're listening for the Holy Spirit to give us direction and guidance. So we all have a sweet spot. It just may take more time for some than others to figure that out, but it does take time, it does take energy, and it does take effort to do that.
So, Dean, before we go to the third question, I'd love to know just from your own story. Again, you were, you know, highly successful in the marketplace. You did a couple of mission trips, and you tried some different things. And in the book, you talked about just serving in different capacities in church because you're a Christian at this time. But how did you find your sweet spot and identify your cause?
Yeah, great question. When I went on this journey, what I wanted to do is really figure out what is my Ephesians 2:10 calling. And what ended up happening is that I went into it with only the head journey. I thought for Lisa and I and the kids, our second half was all about starting orphanages in South Africa, Puerto Rico, or the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And as it turns out, when I started the Halftime Institute program, I quickly realized that that was good and noble, and it was something we wanted to do as a family. But when I really started to unpack what were my strengths, what were my spiritual gifts, what were my passions, I realized that my burning passion or desire was to help other men and women figure out their Ephesians 2:10 calling, their sweet spot. So it took me time, it took energy, and in many cases, we'll try certain things. We call them low-cost probes. We'll go out and try different things once we get a little clearer on what we think our calling is. And the low-cost probes allow us to figure out what's not a fit. So I tried different things, Susie, like going over to Africa and other places until I really started honing in on what my 2:10 calling or my sweet spot was.
And once you identified helping mobilize other people in their calling, I mean, all along the way, as I'm looking at your story, God was always ahead of you, preparing the way and opening doors. He was always, he had your back and he was walking next to you. I mean, are you kind of overwhelmed when you think about how he's orchestrated so much of this and just helped you stay in pace with his plan for you?
Oh, I am overwhelmed because when you're going through it, you wonder, why in the world is that happening?
Yeah.
And then as you look back, 10 years ago, now I start to connect the dots. Like, now I know why that happened. Now I know why I was moved to here, to there. Now I know why I met that person. But when you're knee-deep into it, it's a little bit overwhelming that and difficult. But it does make sense. God does have a plan. God is connecting the dots. And now when I look back, if you would have asked me in 2006 when I had the 40th floor office window experience, where do you think you'll be in 2017? The last place I would have told you is Dallas, Texas, overseeing the Halftime Institute. That just wasn't on my radar screen, but God had other plans. So the beauty is when you get into this season and you're really trying to figure out this next season of life, the halftime book says going from success to significance, but the reality of it is it's going from success to significance to ultimate surrender. You say, Lord, what do you want to do with the rest of my life?
And would you say this is a typical place that the winds of change start to blow? Is there an identified age that's so typical? And is it different for men and women when you get to this place to go, is this all there is, or surely I was made for more? Have you identified kind of a particular season of life where this happens?
Well, really what's happening is we used to see this sweet spot, if you will, for the Halftime Institute being the age group of 45 to 65. Now it's really a season of life. It's not an age. Mm. So we have kids in their 20s, and I can say kids, my daughter's in their 20s, and older folks that are in their 80s that are going through the program. They're trying to figure out, what does God want to do with the rest of my life? I want to be significant. I want to make a difference. So I would say it's not an age. It's really a season. And it's really right now for the Halftime Institute, it's 60-40 men to women. We have as many women going through the program as men. And the third thing that I think is really important is when someone reads Trade Up, they may come to the conclusion, well, you have to leave the marketplace and go into the ministry or nonprofit. And that's just not the case. 60 to 70% of folks who go through the program actually stay right where they're at. They make some course corrections in what they're doing, but their serving opportunity in many cases is right in front of them. Mm. They don't have to leave the marketplace. I remember a message by Bill Hybels. He said, if everyone leaves the marketplace and goes into the ministry, who would be a light in the dark world? So we need godly people in the marketplace.
I love so much of what you just said. First of all, I think one of the things that marks millennials these days is that they actually want to have a life of significance. And so I love that this isn't just a midlife thing at all. This is the people who get restless because they want their life to count. And also the fact that some are going to be called to stay right where they are, but just why they do what they do is what changes. But that can be a game changer just completely, can't it?
Yeah. Figuring out really what season of life you're in, no matter when it is, like as you mentioned, millennials, they're saying, I don't want to go from success to significance. I want to be significant right now. I don't need the success. I want both right now.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's so good. We have to pause here, Dean, and take a break. Talking to Dean Niewolny, title of his book, Trade Up, this big hardcover book, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie, that's Susie with two S's, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you've got a question for Dean, include that as well. We'll continue this great conversation, and we'll get that third question on the other side. So the first question, is there not a cause? Second, in you, is there a sweet spot? And third, what is your giant and how can you know? We'll tackle that one next. You're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Halftime Institute CEO Dean Niewolny about his book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. What I loved what you just said before the break is this isn't equating exactly to like a midlife crisis. This is for anybody who wants to shift their focus so that they're living a life of significance. And some may be called to leave the marketplace. Others may be able to just be called to camp right there, but change why you're doing what you do. So we've been walking through three questions that you do in the Halftime Institute for those who are just trying to identify their passion and their call. The first one we talked about, is there not a cause? Is there something? And you say, read the USA Today. Read the paper for a week. See what makes you sad and mad and glad and identify passion. Second, in you, is there a sweet spot? Okay, third is, what is your giant and how can you know? Fantastic. Unpack that one if you would, Dean.
Sure. And before I do that, if I can just share something that I think is quite fascinating that'll lead me into this. There was a Gallup poll not too long ago, and in this Gallup poll said only 20% of people believe that they are doing something that really matters. That means 80% of folks every day get up and go to work and feel their work doesn't matter. So the third question that we're talking about is about the giant. And really it is, once you identify the sweet spot that God has for you, what is your giant? And when we look at that, it's how do you plug in and go and follow through on what your calling is? So for instance, there's three things that usually happen. One, if someone identifies their Ephesians 2:10 calling, they can stay right where they're at in the marketplace, and that becomes their ministry. They just make a few course adjustments within their work environment. Two, they can join an organization that's out there doing what they're already what they want to do and join that company. Or three, they can start their own organization. Now, number two is what about, I would say, 50% of folks do if they leave the marketplace. They identify an organization that's already out there doing what they want to do. So when you identify who your giant is, that is going out and actually partnering up with someone and actually making a difference. So I'll give you three quick examples. Number one is a gentleman named Graham Power in Cape Town, South Africa. Once he found his sweet spot, which was bringing people together to pray, he decided to start his own organization. And what he did is he brought 200 folks together to pray in 1998, just after reading Bob Buford's book, Halftime, and figuring out his sweet spot. Today, 300 million people pray on the global day of prayer. Wow. Because of what he started in 1998. That's his giant. His giant is prayer, and he put it into action. The second is a lady named Sandy Griffith, who lives in Houston, Texas. She found her sweet spot was to rock babies of drug addicted mothers. So she went and partnered with Bentaub Hospital in Houston, Texas, and that's what she does. She goes in and rocks babies of drug-addicted mothers. They need love. They need attention. So that is her focus. And then the third is a gentleman named Mark. And Mark has a passion for the homeless, and he works for a large company called Lowe's. And what he wanted to do is actually leave Lowe's and partner with an organization that focuses on the homeless. But he realized after doing some research that in his region of the country, which is the Southeast, there were 500 employees that were homeless. Now, not just the employees themselves, but the employee and their family. So he had his ministry right in front of him within inside the organization. So that was his giant and his focus.
So help me with this, because so you're looking at the sweet spot. You're looking at the cause. How I was thinking when, you know, what is your giant? What would be what's opposing you? What's standing in your way? But you're saying is the giant, you know, taking that passion and envisioning something really big coming out of it?
Yeah, it's really both. It's first identifying what your giant is and what is the fear, what's holding you back from actually going forward with your Ephesians 2:10 calling. But then once you have that worked through, then the giant is really attacking whatever is the big the passion that you have, the issue that you have, the focus that you have, and how you go about doing that.
Well, I loved how you wrote about our need, or we actually think we need a lot of assurance in the midst of God's invitation to faith. And you told the story about how someone asked Mother Teresa if she would just pray that they could receive some clarity, and she replied, "I never had clarity. I only had faith." I would love to know for you and your story, Dean, was that the same for you? I mean, did God provide certain assurance along the way, or was that only as you were walking and going in faith? I mean, how did that work for you?
Yeah, for me, it was really, it was faith. There wasn't a lot of assurance, but I had this incredible sense of peace. As I continued in the mid-2000s, after having my 40th floor office experience, I had this incredible peace and sense of comfort that if I just continue to trust God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that God had a plan for the rest of my life, just like he does for all of us. So I felt this sense of comfort, but I would be lying if I didn't say that there was some fear, there was a little bit of concern, because I didn't know what it was. You know, as a type A personality, I'd like to know, what is it that my next step or my next phase of life is going to be? And it wasn't crystal clear to me at that time. So it was more faith.
I'd love to know too, Dean, because, you know, anytime we make a move in faith, the devil makes a plan. Of course, the enemy's not going to want you mobilizing multitudes of people into their calling and what that would find significance, because then there's going to be life change and fruitfulness. So I imagine you encountered some kind of spiritual opposition. What did that look like?
Yeah, a lot of times what happens, Susie, is when an opportunity is presented to go serve in the kingdom, the best opportunity possible is presented to you in the marketplace. It just seems to happen that way. So if you read the book, you know, Richard Stern's book, The Hole in the Gospel, he had the same challenge that most of us face, and that is when he understood what his Ephesians 2:10 calling was, and that was to go work with World Vision. He was offered the most significant opportunity financially that he's ever seen, work-wise, was presented to him a month or two before he left.
Wow.
And that seems to happen quite often. And what we see is that there is this sense of fear when it comes to the finances and how am I going to take care of my family financially, and we're putting value in our resources instead of really putting value in the one who provides those resources. So there is opposition there. We do an exercise called the obstacle exercise, and the number one usually is financial. And on there also is this fear of losing your identity. Because in many cases, we have an identity. We're a CEO, or we're the president, or we're the manager, or whatever that title may be for you. You usually lose that title as you make a transition if you leave the marketplace into the ministry. So you lose your identity. And if your identity is not solid in Christ, that can be a very scary transition. So there surely is. Satan surely puts up a lot of roadblocks, or tries to do that.
Boy, that's so interesting. I would imagine, I'd love to hear how many people received kind of a sweet deal before actually the God-appointed deal came. I mean, really a test of your heart to see, to take something that feeds your sense of flesh and your sense of, you know, desire for control. Boy, pretty interesting. How did the dynamic play out, Dean, in your marriage and with your kids as you kind of had this kind of shift in life and focus?
Yeah, what happened is I went through the halftime huddle experience in 2006 when I got together with a group. And in 2008, as I was going through the halftime institute program, I arrived in Dallas to go through it. And Bob Buford asked me, Dean, tell me a little bit of what's going on. I said, I'm ready to go. I feel God's calling me to do this. And he said, well, what about Lisa? I said, well, Lisa's not quite where I'm at. She's behind me a little bit. And he said, whatever you do, don't move one step forward. You begin to pray for her, and you need to be equally yoked. Do not move forward without both of you being equally yoked. And what we see often is folks coming through the program that feel that God's calling them to do something, and they're leaving behind their spouse and children, and that's the recipe for disaster. So the best advice I received is when Bob said, begin praying for Lisa, which I did, and Lisa was the one that ultimately had the dream at 3:30 in the morning where God told her, we're moving to Dallas, Texas, and I'm becoming the CEO of Halftime. If I had that dream, we wouldn't be here.
Wow.
So we worked very close, and when we felt like it was time to move forward, Lisa and I had numerous conversations, but we included the kids along the way in family discussions about the move, which is critically important.
So before she had that dream, you guys were kind of going back and forth about where you might live, what you might want to do. I was just jarred by that. I think, if I remember right, just reading, she sat up and had a very distinct dream, which didn't sound like that was typical for her. I mean, you kind of whipped by that, but go back to that and say what happened with her and how that landed for you.
Yeah, it was very interesting because Lisa loves Chicago and loves Southern California, and there's nothing in between. And we were actually in Southern California at the time at a halftime event because I thought, well, I can go and spend time with halftime, and Lisa can spend time with me in Southern California, so we both win. And that day, I had an interaction with a gentleman in the room, and Lisa said, well, what did he want? And I said, well, he wants to come up and visit us in Chicago. And I said, probably to find out a little bit more of how halftime can get involved in the financial services industry. And that was it. And we ended up going to bed. And Lisa, like I said, knew of Chicago and Orange County, California. And she sat up at 3:30 in the morning and said, I just had the craziest dream. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I just dreamt that you're going to be named the CEO of Halftime, and we're moving to Dallas, Texas. That was September 2009, February 22nd, 2010. We were in Dallas, and I was the CEO.
I love that story. I'm telling you, did you feel a little nausea when she first said that, or how did you feel?
Well, what I do know, is I listen every time she has a dream.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Note to self. Talking to Dean Niemolny, he is the CEO of Halftime Institute. Moral of the story, well, at least one of them, listen to your wife if she has a dream, right? Title of the book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to go through a little bit of an exercise about how to pinpoint your sweet spot and your passion. And here's one of the great questions Dean asks. When I lose all track of time, what am I doing? Supposed to pay attention to that. More great conversation with Dean Niemolny when we return. Love that song, so I had to let it play out a little bit. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to Halftime Institute CEO Dean Niemolny. Boy, it's been a great conversation. If you just tuned in, you might want to go back and catch this whole conversation. It'll be up in podcast form after the live show is over. Dean's written the book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And that'd be kind of fun to walk through some of these questions on helping to find our sweet spot. So the first question you have people ask when they go through the Halftime Institute is, when I lose all track of time, what am I doing? Say more about that and even apply that to your own life, if you would, Dean.
Yeah, it's a lot of folks turn their dreamer off. And when you lose track of time, it's really, what are you doing when you're doing that? And we're somewhat programmed that we need to be doing certain things. And what we try to encourage folks to do when they come through the Institute is you have a whiteboard in front of you. And turn your dreamer back on. And we have folks who go through this program, and we have folks who are sports fishermen, and they take disabled children sports fishing. We have folks that love flying, and they work with angel flight. And so that exercise is really to allow people to just dream, what makes you joyful? What do you just love to do? And how can we take what you love to do and what makes you joyful and couple it with what you're passionate about so you can go in that area and serve? So that's what that question is.
Would you say for your own life then, Dean, that one of the things that you just, when you lose track of time, is encouraging and mobilizing other people? Or is there more to your answer than that?
Yeah, for me, when I think through that, and when I lose track of time, it's answering the question or looking at the answer to this question, what it would look like. And that is, a friend of mine said to me, Dean, do you know that if everyone understood and engaged in their Ephesians 2:10 calling, that it would be heaven on earth? And for me, when I dream and think about that, I think of all the folks out there just knowing and being crystal clear. They're making eye contact with God, and they're getting their assignment from God, and they're crystal clear on what they're going to do with the rest of their life because they're in God's sweet spot. And I think to myself, man, what this world would be so different if that happened. So that's what I dream about.
And that's exactly my dream, too. That's what gets me out of bed every day, just the idea of us each being mobilized. And because you think of the ripple effect of one person walking, you know, that each of us has a sphere of influence, and you walk in that high call, the ripple effect is staggering. And I love that. So great. So the next question, how do I problem solve? Talk about that one.
Yeah, well, problem solve really has more to do when you're thinking through your passions and you're thinking through what I want to do with the rest of my life. You really have to think through the different problems that are presented to you and that you have to work through. And it has a lot to do with what we already talked about, and that is, what are the obstacles that are facing me that I need to resolve in order to go and follow through on my area of passion? Mm-hmm. So as we're thinking through those different obstacles, is it financial? Is it faith? What are those obstacles? And I usually start out with asking three questions, and I'll just share these real quick, Susie. When I sit down with a group, I start out by asking them, what is all your winning costing you? So that has to do with cost accounting. What is all your winning costing you? Is it costing you your relationship with your spouse? Is it costing you your relationship with your children? Is it your faith? Is it your health? And for me, it was my relationship with my wife and with my children. I wasn't spending enough time with them. The second is asset protection. What do you have that is priceless, and what are you doing to protect that? So when I think of what's priceless for me, it's my faith, it's my spouse, and it's my children. What am I doing proactively to protect that? And then the third is metrics. If you were living the perfect life 2 years from now, what would that look like? Not what would you be doing, what would that look like? And for me, it's my children have high self-esteem and they love Jesus. It's my wife and I are living in our sweet spot in our Ephesians 2:10 calling and other things. But it's fun to go through those three questions because they're a little bit disruptive, but they get you thinking.
Oh, love it. I feel like somebody wants to hear those again. Somebody's driving today going, oh, I need you to repeat those one more time. So would you do that? Walk them through one more time.
Sure. Number one really has to do with cost accounting. What is all your winning costing you? Is it costing you your spouse, your health, your faith, your relationship with your children? What is it costing you? Number two is asset protection. What do you have that is priceless, and what are you doing to protect it? Is your spouse priceless? I hope so. Your faith, your children, and what are you doing proactively to protect that? Then third is metrics. If you were living the perfect life 2 years from now, what would that life look like? What would it look like? Not what would you be doing, but what would it look like?
Wow. So fantastic, Dean. So for someone to participate in the Halftime Institute, is this a place they go? Is this kind of a retreat thing, or is this an online course, or what does it look like, Dean?
Sure. It's you can go to halftime.org, and there's two different programs. One's an intensive year-long program that includes a number of different exercises and get-togethers throughout the year. But the most important piece is that it includes one-on-one coaching. You can't go at it alone. So coaching is absolutely critical. And in the Halftime Certified Coach is someone who's gone down this path, who has faced all the different challenges, who's there to encourage and guide. So the first program is very intensive and includes coaching. And then the second program is called Halftime One-on-One, which is just pure coaching, but it's someone who's there to encourage and help and guide you throughout the year-long journey.
Boy, that's awesome. Okay, another question. We just got a few minutes left, but this was a good one. What does feedback tell me? Say more about that one.
Yeah, feedback is so critical, and it goes back to what I just said. You can't do it alone. You can't know yourself by yourself, and a lot of us don't take the time to really get to know ourselves. So what's important, in my opinion, and I share this in Trade Up, is that you really need to identify a coach that can guide you, and I've already mentioned the halftime coaches that help with that in guide you and encourage you and keep you on track. The other thing that we help folks with is identifying a personal board of directors. So if you look at a successful company, they have a strong mission statement and they have a strong board of directors. So you personally need a board of directors if you're going on this journey who are there to answer questions, who are there to encourage you, who are there to tell you things when you may not want to hear them. I had someone on my personal board of directors. I wanted to go into a certain job, and that person said, Dean, that's just not a good fit for you. So feedback is critical. So as you're on this journey and you begin to identify your strengths and your spiritual gifts and your passions, it's important to have a board of directors that you share that with and say, is this me? Does this sound like me, or is there something I'm missing? So, Susie, that's why feedback is just so critical.
Boy, that's great. And the last question in this list is, in what situations do I thrive?
Yeah, so you really need to take time to understand yourself, and we just don't do that. So where do I thrive? The exercise that I did for myself, and again, these exercises are in Trade Up, is I took time to make a list of things that I like and things that I don't like. So when an opportunity was presented to me, I would know if it was a good fit or not. So here's a very simple example. If I was invited to a party, for instance, I'm much better in a small group that goes really deep than a large group that just is very surface level. Mm-hmm. So it's those types of things that over time that you keep track of, so you get a much better understanding of yourself. So you know when an opportunity is presented to you and you've gone through and put together your personal mission statement, which we help you with, you are able to say that situation is a yes or that situation is a no. Really, a mission statement, which helps you identify where you'll thrive, is an opportunity to say no to things that don't fit you.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry.
This has been such a powerful, powerful conversation. As we get ready to wrap here, one of the things you wrote is, the more I grasped God's love, the more I saw his value on certain things with no price tag. And I'm thinking of that person listening today who's, I'm just thinking this guy is worn out and weary and realizing he is made for something more. And I'm wondering if you feel comfortable praying for him right now. Would you do that, Dean?
I would love to. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you provide for us. And Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. Lord, we just need to take time to make eye contact with you, Lord. And when we do, we know that you will provide us joy, impact, and balance. Lord, we are so grateful for the passion and the gifts and the strengths that you've given us. So, Lord, for that person who's driving right now thinking, what should I do next? Maybe that person's in the smoldering discontent season. I pray today, Father, that they make eye contact with you, that they take the time to really get clear and understand what your calling is for the rest of their life. In Christ's name.
Amen. Dean, I know you're a busy guy. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today. What a great conversation.
Susie, thank you for having me.
Great, great conversation. Talking to Dean Niemolny, author of the book Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. There's still time to get in on the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. For listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.